Me. Yes, he's done so much for me. I cannot tell it all. I cannot tell it all. I cannot tell it all. Yes, he's done so much for me. Oh, I cannot tell it all. He has taken my sin away. Yes, he's done so much for me. Oh, I cannot tell it all. I cannot tell it all. Yes.
hope the Lord has done something for you today. You know, we were singing about how much he's done for us. The song said we cannot tell it all. But, you know, we should tell some of it, you know, what God has done for us. And I'm just thankful that we have an opportunity to tell things about what God has done. And I was thinking when Brother Smith was covering the book of Hebrews and talking about who Jesus is and why he came to this earth, this world, what he accomplished in himself, and also allowing his people. You know, he dealt with a people. He talked to the Jewish people. He came to his own. Of course, the Bible says his own received him not, but as many as did receive him, there were some that did receive him. So anyway, I was thinking also about what he's saying about Hebrews is Jesus was, I'm thinking about that tabernacle he was talking about. Moses built a tabernacle in the wilderness, and that tabernacle was pitched by man. But the scripture Brother Smith was giving us this morning, he said the Lord is going to have a true tabernacle that's going to be pitched by the Lord. It's not going to be pitched by man, but it's going to be God is building a house that he's going to be Lord of that house. And I was thinking, you know, the spirit of man, you know, is working in the world, even in religion. And a lot of things are done, but the spirit of man. But we're talking about a house that God, the Spirit of God, is going to be over it, going to be running it. And I was thinking that, you know, we should long to see that in operation. That should be a longing in our heart to see a tabernacle in this earth that's not just not pitched by man. You know, we should long to see that. You know, to see a tabernacle that's pitched by God, by the Lord, that operated by the Lord. People that are yielding their spirit, their lives, to be operated by God. A people there's a song that talks about a holy people, a holy generation that Peter talked about. You know, that's what we're. You know, that's our hope. That's our. What we're seeing, you know, when we begin to look at the picture, we see that God God's going to have that. You know, it's not so much that we want it so bad, but we do want it, but we know God's going to have it. And we see that. That's the good part about it. We can see that God is going to have a tabernacle built by him, a people that's built by him. And I want to embrace that. I want to be able to make myself a part, because if I don't have these thoughts, you know, about that, I might just say, well, it's just another church, just another group of people. But God is going to have the people. You know, it's God that's going to be doing the work. But I'm thankful to be a part of our people that's looking for it. You know, we need to be, that's Scripture Brother Smith gave, we should look for it. You know, we should be in our mind. We should be saying, God, like Simeon, you know, he had seen the scripture that there's going to be a Messiah come to this world, and he's going to be born. And he lived long enough to see that. And he said once he saw it, he was satisfied, you know, that I've seen the salvation of Israel. And I see when he saw that, you know, we're going to see that. That'll be, even if we don't even have to worry about whether we're living to see it. You know what I'm saying? I don't even, like Brother McGowan was saying the other night, you know, we don't have to fear that. You know, Lord, am I going to live long enough to see that? Don't even fear that. Just live for God. Give your life to God. And you'll be here. Don't worry about it. You'll be here. If you're living for God, you're a child of God, you've given him your life, you'll see it. It's like a guarantee. You'll see it. You'll be a part of it. You know, whether you live, I know Jesus told some of his disciples, you know, that some of you are standing here. You're not going to taste the death. You're not going to see this. You know, you're going to become a part of this kingdom that I'm. You know, some of those people that he was talking to, he said, some of you that are standing here, you're not going to taste this natural death that people want. You're not going to have to see it. Now, some of us may taste some of that natural death, but we're not worried about it. We're not worried about it because we know that our lives is in his hand. and we're serving God, and he's already told us, you know, if we live for him, live a justified life. We're looking forward to living a justified life in Christ. And we don't have to, you know, I was mentioned the other night, we don't have to sit and worry about it. You know, I'm just going to live for God. It's in his hands anyway. You know, our lives are in his hands. So I just want to live for him. I want to do all that I know, you know, that he's given me a power to know, a wisdom to know, a knowledge to know what he's doing. And I just want to embrace that and continue to live for God. You know, the time that I have, you know, I like to see that the church, the inauguration of the restored church, I like to see that. And hopefully, if I don't see it start somewhere down the road, I'll catch up. You'll be on the road when I get back. But anyway, I'm just looking forward to it. I mean, we're not just talking about any old kingdom here. We're talking about the kingdom of God. You know, what God is doing. You know, God is doing this. He's building the house. You know, and that's all we have to do is get in his program. Get with him and be a part of it. So anyway, it was good to be in church today and to be a part of what God is doing. We have visitors, and we're always glad to have visitors. To be able to, we can share, you know, what God is doing for us, you know. We're not just hoggish people. Just say, we don't want to enjoy it all by ourselves. We don't want to have that attitude. But we want to allow other people to share in what we're doing. We got Sydney and Chad. Is that the Bodies? Good to have y'all here today. God bless you. They're not far from us. They're kind of close to us. They're down the road a ways here. We're 8101. They're 7919. So that's not too far away. A couple of houses down the road. All right. Good to have y'all here today. And also, is it Respond? Where is she? Responder? Refunder? We try to have it. Okay. Good to have you here today. She was here for Bible study. So anyway. How you get that last name? Gwen? Okay, we got it. Gwen. Good to have you. God bless you. Goins. All right. We'll keep working on it for sure. All right. So anyway, it's good to be here today, and we do need to do offering today, I guess, and take care of that. Appreciate the ushers. If you come, we'll do prayer as well. We were very concerned about Brother Jerry. Now, I don't know, how's he doing? any other requests? Sister Michelle. DJ, good to have Mike. Yeah, he's been here before, I believe. Good to have you here today, Mike. Praise the Lord. All right. Sister Jane. Anthony. Remember Anthony, he's sick today. Pray for him. Sister Donna. We need prayer. Remember Sister Donna today. All right, anybody?
Kept her teeth in her mouth the whole time.
Let's keep praying with Sister Bonnie Smith, Grandma Smith. All right, any other? Sister Renata. It's okay. Pray for her, don't remember her. All right. Anybody else? Aaron. Remember Aaron. Sister Jim. Remember Sister Jenny. Crap. All right. Who was that? Oh, I'm sorry. All right, Sister. Okay. Sister Cindy, mother. Pray for her. All right. Anybody else? A lot of needs. Remember Brother and Sister Crow. Pray for them.
Everyone would remember to keep praying for the Dominican Republic. We're working on a land deal over there that I'm asking God to help us with. So if y'all would pray that the Lord would help us, He'd have His will in all of that. Appreciate it.
Remember that. Dominican Republic.
I'm going back over there this Friday. See about all that. So appreciate y'all's prayers.
All right. Let's remember that need. Sister June. Yes. Mom and Dad. It's probably he had, yeah. I remember seeing that post about him. Yeah, I was, remember her parents. Pray for them. All right. Remember these needs. Let's stand and take these needs to the Lord and pray that God will help His people. Lord, we thank You this day, oh God, for helping us. Come before You, O Lord, knowing that You can help out every need, Lord. Oh, God, we look to You to help us, help Your people, O Lord, Brother Jerry, Lord. You help them already, Lord. Pray that You continue to help them in this recovery time. Lord, keep Your hand up. Oh, God, help us in our heart. Oh, Lord. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus, bless You, people. Bless You, Lord, and each one, spoken and unspoken. Oh. pray that you help us. Praise your holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes.
Into something, he's the giver of life, he's hope for the hopeless, gives sight to the blind, he makes impossible possible. The fairest of 10,000. Every cross, every can heal any hurt, any suffering. Every cross, every care, every burden he'll bear for anyone, anywhere. God can do anything. God can do
Praise God. Well, it's good to be here today. Appreciate the Lord. The presence of the Lord that's here. I appreciate it. I just want to make mention on with an announcement here that in our morning breakfasts, we need really more volunteer help to help whoever's in charge of breakfast, to help clean up the kitchen and just help back there so that the same ones aren't just burdened with it. And also the same on our dinner days. If I know there's teams, but if everyone would do their part, it makes it a lot easier on those that have the burden and responsibilities. And so I'm just asking you to, we may ask you to, even sign up for some of it, but I'm not prepared to do that right now. I just wanted to mention it to you so you could be thinking. And I think our morning, our morning breakfasts and Bible study is very pertinent. feel like that's where we really try to get into the meat of the Word of God and get a deeper understanding. Our worship services up here are equally as important. The true worshipers of God need to worship Him in spirit and truth. We need the Spirit of God as well as the Word of God, and so we're trying to find a balance. And then I appreciate our Bible classes that our teachers are working with our young people, from the little ones all the way up to teenagers. I know in my life, if I go back to my youth, I can tell you that many things that I received in a Bible class in church stuck with me throughout the years. And part of my understanding was initiated through Sunday school, just going to Bible classes in church. So I know there's a benefit. So I'm thankful. We don't mention it real often, especially the other classes, but I want the teachers to know how much we appreciate them and thankful that our children have that. we want to, again, thank our guests for coming, Brother Chad and Sister Cindy. These are the people Brother Paul David met. Evidently, he didn't splash them. Now, y'all won't understand that, but that's an inside joke. But everybody else here knows what I mean, just about, except for Sister Responda. Am I saying that right? Responda? How do you say that? You let the S is silent. R-E-P. Okay, well, see, they have on here pronounced Responda, but it's Responda. I like Responda better because I want you to Responda to my message. But we'll go with Responda. I'll accept that. Anyway, we just want to make sure you feel welcome. You can let your toes run all the way out to the end of your shoes. You know, sometimes when you're in a place that you're not unfamiliar with, or you're unfamiliar with, and maybe even got a little concern, you got your toes tightened up down in the end of your shoes. We want you to just let them on out. You know, just relax. We're not going to hurt you in any way. We're going to do our best to do that. I'm thankful for the Lord today and His. I talked here two or three weeks ago on this journey that we're on, and it is a journey that there's a song that says, "I've come too far to turn back now." Well, no matter where you're at in God's dealing with you, it is a journey. And it's an interesting life to serve God and learn of Him and to be a part of His family. Jesus said that as many as leave houses and lands, mothers and fathers, brothers and sisters, children, for my sake, will I give 100-fold in this life, as well as life eternal. So, I've got two brothers. One of them loves me. I think the other one might love me, but he don't love me enough to ever, he don't know, you know, we're not close. He's not. He don't serve God, so he don't like being around me very much. The other one's you know, is a Christian, and we get along really good. But of course, he don't live here, and he lives in Texas. But when I made up my mind to dedicate my life to God, it didn't matter what my family had to say about it. I made up my mind I was going to serve him no matter what, no matter who or what. And I made that commitment. And, you know, I'm a testimony of this song that we were singing, God can do anything with anything. Sister Yvonne York, back when her and Doug were in the early stages of their journey with God's dealing with their life, it was rocky road. We met them. He was just in the Army in San Antonio, Texas, and I was out of the Army. I'd already got out. He just got in. They just got married. And you know, just like most marriages, especially if you don't really have the stability of God in your life, and even if you're young, you know, most people, young people, aren't real stable, even in the things of God. It takes time to get that working in your life. And so Doug was raised in a, he was raised in a pre-Pentecostal church. That's what they called it. Ain't nothing free anymore, but that's what they called it, you know. I don't think there's anything altogether free. I mean, I may give you a gift, but when you get it, you got a responsibility with that gift. That's the way it is with God. God will forgive you of your sins and give you the free gift of life. But in a way, it's not free, because then you got the responsibility, Osmonique, that to respond to that to that gift. You've got a responsibility on your hands of what you're going to do with what God's given you. And it's just like, I could give you $100 today and you could lose it before you got to your car, or you could just blow it anyway and it wouldn't really mean anything to you. It wouldn't benefit you very much. So it depends on what you do with a gift. But anyway, Brother Doug was, he was raised in church. Brother Jerry's, his brother's the one we're talking about that's in the hospital with a heart operation. Of course, Doug and Yvonne's moved to Oklahoma to take care of her brother. And they're now going to Brother Karin's church in what's the name of that little town? Skytook? Yeah. And I'm glad that they're being faithful and doing that. But I had them for about 42 years and so under my ministry. And so I know their history and their testimony. And even though Doug was raised in church, he didn't get connected, really connected to God. In fact, he didn't even get the Holy Ghost. He got the Holy Ghost in Winters, Texas in 1981 is when he got it there with a guitar hanging around his neck. He was playing the guitar and he got the Holy Ghost and he got his hands down and the guitar was just a dangling and he was just speaking in tongues. But they went through a lot before he got to where he's at today, he and her both, because, that guitar, that caused him a lot of trouble. He loved that guitar and loved music more than he loved anything. In fact, he liked music better than he liked eating. You know, anybody that's ever been around him, go over to his house. He'll sing you 100 songs and won't let you turn away to go anywhere or do anything else. Still today, he'll do that. And so he played that guitar and honky-tonks and got in bands and done all kinds of things that, you know, they went through. Sister Yvonne stayed with him through it all. And but God finally really got a hold of him, got a hold of his life. And she used to, the reason I'm telling you this story is because she used to say, after God really got a hold of him, she used to get up and testify, don't give up on your family. Because if God can save Doug, he can save anybody. Yeah, so, you know, don't give up. That's one of the things I love about mothers is they don't give up. They love their children unequivocally. You know, fathers a lot of times they get frustrated and they'll say, you know, I'm tired of that boy or girl. You know, I'm frustrated. I'm tired of messing with them. Let them go their way. I'm done. But mamas won't let you be done. No, they just hang on forever, you know, to every little thread. That's God put that in women. Thank God for that. If it wasn't for my mom, I wouldn't be here today. I'm sure of that. She held on to God for my dad. I wanted her to leave him many times. I'd never want her to go back to him. He's meaner than a junkyard dog. I love him. I forgave him for all that. I have a deep love for Dad now. But back then, when I was a little boy, Dad was an alcoholic, and he was too much to live with. God finally, in his later life, got him straightened out where he got connected to God and died serving the Lord. But he, you know, I wanted Mama to leave him, but she just kept holding on to God to save him. And God finally did save him, honored her faith. She would probably tell you today, God can save Lehman Smith. He can save anybody. Well, that gives me hope today that I don't give up on anybody anymore. I still hold out for that the Lord is able. He's looking for a way to save people. God has to have a way. That's one of my sayings, is God's got to have access to you. He's got to be able to deal with you. He's got to have somebody to have some influence on you. I mean, he can talk to you personal. He can talk to you on your bed. He can talk to you through circumstances. He can put you flat on your back, make you listen to it for a little while, but you'll get, if God lets you live, which I don't think God just goes around killing people. A lot of people just die. Most people die by nature. Jesus told his disciples, he said, your time is always, my time's not yet come, he said. He knew God had a predestined for Jesus. Now that's be hard to understand this, but Jesus could have failed. He was tempted. He had a process to go through. He could have failed, but he didn't. Thank God. Thank God today that he made it through. He's the example for you and I, and he made it possible for me to be born again, and for me that the Spirit of God could touch my life. He fulfilled purpose that God, this might throw some of you, that God created him. Jesus is a creature. Did you know that? The Bible said, read the first chapter of Colossians if you don't understand that. But he's the firstborn of every creature, and he's before all things. A lot of places in Christianity will teach you that he's always existed. That's not true according to the Word of God. He's the firstborn of every creature, and he was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. And when the Bible said in the book of Genesis, let us make man, God and Jesus was there. Look, matter of fact, let's just turn to Colossians and read that for those of you that's saying, I don't know if that's true. Don't believe me, but believe the Bible. Yeah, let's take the book. And First Colossians, the first chapter, and let's start in the 13th verse. It's talking about God who hath delivered, you could back up and read it and see that, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Now, you can't be a creature unless you were created. That's what a creature is. It's a creature has been created. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether there be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. He created everything. God created him, and God gave him the plan, and he did all the rest of the creation. God created Jesus, his son. That's what a, by the way, that's what a son is. It's an offspring of a father. You can't be a son unless you've been made by a father. You can't be a father unless you've got an offspring or a son. So he had to have a beginning. In fact, the Bible says he's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. God didn't have a beginning. Now, don't ask me to explain that. I can explain everything else but that, maybe, or I really can't, but I can't explain God always existing. That just blows my mind, you might say. But someday, I don't even know if he can explain that where my mind could understand it, even after I get a new body. He's before all things, and by him all things consist, and he's the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated, I'd almost all say all the time alienated, and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Hallelujah. Let me read a couple more verses because one of them's important. In the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, if, everybody ought to circle that little if in your Bible, because this is not a guarantee. There's an if. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. So, he was there in the beginning when he said, let us make man. He evidently had already just finished making the heavenly host, the angels, those principalities and powers. Jesus created those heavenly hosts, those celestial beings, that according to God's instruction, he did that. But anyway, he was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. God had it in his plan. He knew that if he would make someone like me, not to mention you, or I guess I just did, but he knew that somebody was going to mess up and there would be a fall. It just so happened it was the first man that messed up. He didn't have to mess up. He had power to live in the garden and live above sin. He had all that God had available to him. He's the only man that was ever made of God before Jesus came to this world. He was the only human that was ever born of God until Jesus came and made it possible for you and I to be born again. And it's through that covenant that Jesus made that makes it possible for you and I, that He can take a life, He can change, He can transform, He can fix lives. And He's so patient. He's so long-suffering. He's so gentle. He understands. That's the thing you need to know about Jesus. He understands you. He knows what you're made of. He knows what's in man. He is a man. Jesus is a perfected man. Before He came to this world, He was the Son of God in celestial angelic form, but He took not upon Himself the nature of angels, but He took on Him the seed of Abraham. And He was made like you and I. The difference was He was born of God. He was reduced. This is a fathom to me, that He, the creature, the firstborn of every creature, God made Him, and He made everything else that was made. And in time, to fulfill His own plan that God showed Him that had to be made, He was willing to drink that bitter cup. He was willing to be reduced to just a seed and give up all that He had and come to this world. You talk about a chancy thing. He knew His Father. He knew His Father was able to help Him. But He also knew that He was going to take on a free will, human form, be placed in an environment like you and I are in. He came out of a pure environment, sinless environment, where He saw and understood all of God's purpose, God's design, God's plan, God's mighty works that worked through Him. By inheritance, He just was born, made the Son of God. And God had Him make everything that was made. All of the miraculous, marvelous design of creation. We don't even know about it. We're learning more and more, but I mean, just what we can see. You know, now they're saying there's, I think I mentioned last week, I read where they say we can see on a clear night 10,000 stars. They found a galaxy where there's like a billion stars. I don't know who counted that? How do they know it's that many? You know, anyway, but it must be a whole lot more than 10,000. I think you can count that far. We don't know what all God's got prepared. You know, what He's got prepared for us. Brother Ogden, he's an engineer. He thinks maybe God, you know, if he makes it, he's thinking God might have him go ahead and build another universe somewhere. That's the way an engineer thinks, you know. Brother Ogden, I'm just planning on sitting down on a big fluffy cloud just enjoying the ride. I ain't wanting them to create nothing. I think there's going to be plenty there. But, you know, that's his mind, and so it's all right with me. What he might do is maybe he may make you the next lamb slain before the foundation of that universe. No, I'm just kidding. No, there's nothing in the Word of God about anything like that. But, wow, what a creation. What a God. And then Jesus, under God's design, was reduced to just a seed, to take on the form of man for you and I. And He came here and was born of a little virgin woman, Mary. I want to meet her someday. I think she's there. And I want to know about Jesus when he was a little boy. See, there's things he don't even remember that she remembers. She'll remember. I want to know if he ever got a spanking. You know, I mean, you're not accountable, you know, when you're little bitty, you know, until you, he that knoweth to do it right and doeth it not, to him it sins. So Jesus, he might have had to have a spanking or two. He might even remember one from Joseph. Who knows? But I just think he was a good boy. But he came here and he laid it all down for you and I. God did that. God gave the very first thing he ever created. He gave it up for you and I. It was in his purpose to have a family. Oh, listen, saints, if you're here today because God has touched you. God finally reached you and I. He, you know, I mean, I don't, it may be in different measures, but if you've been touched by God in any measure, look, there's people in this world that's never felt God. They've never been touched. They don't even, there's places that's never heard of Jesus. And you and I have been blessed enough to live in a world, in a this God-chosen country. I know it's fallen. I know it's in bad condition. But it's where God chose to establish the gospel. That he would finish his work in the end of this Gentile world. We're still going to see the greatest operation of God in the end of the Gentile world that the Gentile world's ever seen. The Jewish world saw it in the end of their world. But we haven't fully seen the manifestation of God in its fullness yet. But according to the scriptures, it's coming. It's coming. Let me read you a scripture over in the 11th chapter of the book of Revelations. This is talking about, the 14th chapter of the book of Revelation, and this is talking about the end of this world. See, the Jewish world was already over. A.D. 70 was upon them when this was given to the Apostle John, the last living apostle. And that world had already, the Jewish world, come to its end. God had already manifested himself for 40 years in that world, and everyone that would receive that full manifestation of God through the New Testament church received what God brought to them through Jesus Christ, and he made up every individual that he could make up the bride with back there. They're members of the bride that could be added to it. Listen to this. This is important for you to understand. God, right now, and in the 2,000 years of his dealing with the Jews, his purpose in it, his main purpose was to gather bride members that would rule and reign with him, that would be a part of his government, that would finally, in the millennium, bring this whole world into subjection and into righteousness, where it could be the final work of God, eternal life. That was what he did in the 2,000 years of working with the Jews. And the end of that world, he harvested a spiritual harvest. He brought about a spiritual harvest and gathered people out of that harvest to make up his bride. Now, there were people that died unjust that wasn't a part of that. They'll have to come up after the 1,000 years in the resurrection of the unjust, and they'll have to be justified. They'll come up. Here's something you need to know about the resurrection. Those people will resurrect in the same flesh they died. Not the same flesh. They'll get a new body because they've already decayed and went back to dust. But God will speak them back into existence. And they'll have to live by faith. They'll have to overcome the sin nature. They'll have to go through a process to finish the work of God, or they'll have to reject it and be eternally judged. I could read that to you in the 20th chapter of the book of Revelation, but that's not, I don't have time to do all that. But here in the 14th chapter, in the end of this world, that's what this is talking about. The end of this world, he's going to do something. And John in the 6th verse said, I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven. Now the word angel here just means messenger. That's what it means. And you have to understand there's different messengers. When the Bible uses the word angel, the Greek and Hebrew word for angel is messenger. And there's different messengers. There are prophets and preachers were messengers. But there are third heaven angels. There's the angelic host in heaven that are not humans. They're celestial beings. But if I'm living right today as a preacher, I'm an angel. I'm a messenger. I'm not. I don't want you to think of me that I'm an angel. Like my wife will tell you, he's not, you know, the kind of angel you might be thinking of. But I am a messenger. If you understand angel means messenger, I am a messenger, and I've got a message for you out of the Word of God. And that's what this angel, when he said, I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth. See, that shows it's talking about men, preachers, men of God. And to every nation, kindred, and tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment is come. And worship Him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. And there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, the great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And then it says, and the third angel followed them saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead, or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture in the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. So, all right, now see what everybody's doing? Everybody's reading the next verse. I didn't read the next verse. I want to talk about the verses I read. When you get through reading the next verse or two, see, you're getting ahead of me. Don't do that. This angel having the everlasting gospel is a ministry down here. We're still working on this gospel, the everlasting gospel. The gospel that will last forever. It's not the gospel that men preach one thing and the other man preaches another and the other and another. That's not everlasting. Somebody's got to get rid of all the falsehood. I've got faith that God is going to help a ministry in the end of this world just the same way that He helped the 12 apostles in the end of that world to have the everlasting gospel. It's coming. John saw it. He saw that there was going to be a harvest in the end of the Gentile world. Matter of fact, let's read the 13th verse. It says, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. See, that's this covenant that we're going to enter into the rest of God and cease from our works, our labors. We're going to quit doing our will. We're going to do the will of God. God is going to work in our lives in such a way that His will be done and we'll rest. In God, we'll rest in doing His will. And He's showing, look what He said, blessed are they that die, blessed are the dead that die in the Lord from henceforth. I didn't talk about graveyard dead. It's talking about you dying to your own will. From henceforth, from this time when this everlasting gospel or this angelic ministry, this messenger ministry that has the everlasting gospel. Finally, when God has the church restored, there's an everlasting gospel that's going to be preached to every creature. It's going to do a work. He gives three messages here. And he's saying, blessed. There's a blessed time that you can die out to sin, die out to your own will. God's already working that in us, but it's not completed yet. It's going to take a finished work of God working in our lives to complete that. Now, verse 14 says, and I looked, and behold, a white cloud. And upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. Now, you've heard Jesus is coming back in the clouds, haven't you? Yeah. You need to know what that means. It don't mean he's coming back on a cloudy day. You know, if this is the world, and you and I are up here. Well, let's say we're down here. You know, it's round, don't you? We could be on the bottom right now. I don't know what keeps us from falling off. But let's just say we're on the bottom. But let's say Jesus appeared here. We had never seen. But when he appears, every eye is going to see. See, it's not a literal appearance. He appeared on the day of Pentecost. But nobody saw it. But they saw. Jesus said this about he that's born of the Spirit. He said, the wind bloweth and it listeth. And you don't see where it comes from nor where it goes, but you know the wind blew. See, Jesus appeared to different ones back there in that world, and he appeared to them. I mean, he's appeared in my life. I know Jesus has come into my life. I've been born of him. I know that. You can't take it away from me. Nobody can take it away from me. I know he's come into my life. He's appeared to me in that sense. Now, but he hasn't fully appeared. I'm not like him yet. When he appears, I'll be like him. But I'm not lying, and I'll see him as he is. I'm still going through the process of him appearing in my life. I said in Bible study, he could appear in this room today, but it wouldn't make you like him. If he appeared in this room and he appeared and then he left, you'd go home the same person you are right now. You might say, man, I'm telling you, I've had an experience. And it could change you in that it enhance your fear of God and your knowing that he's real, but in a few days you'd realize I've still got the same mind I had. I'm still having the same troubles that I was having before the appearing of Christ. But when he keeps appearing in your life, his appearance gets greater. The more you serve him, the more you know him. There's a song like that. The longer I trust him, the more I... How's it go? It gets sweeter as the days go by. The longer I serve him. Yeah. So the more that you get to know him, the more this word of God gets written on the table of your heart and in your mind, the more real he becomes. The more experiences you have of him in the Spirit. A lot of times people wonder, why don't Jesus appear? Well, because he knows it wouldn't do a whole lot for him to appear. It's not going to fix you. That's not going to fix your what's broke. But this walking through faith and God dealing with you and God quickening you by his Spirit, he'll appear more and more in your life. You'll become more like him. And Not only is this time when God gets this world where he got the Jewish world. You ever think about it? I mean, Jesus dealt with them for 2,000 years before he came. It wasn't time for him to come before that. They wouldn't have got it before that. And only a remnant got it anyway. And now we're, you know, if we took the day of Pentecost, AD 33, and added 2,000 years to it, 2033, we're 19 years away. So he's coming back. But it'll be 2 years, 2 days. There's 2 days in the first world. There's 2 days in the second world. There's 2 days in this world. There's 6 days. And the seventh day is the millennium. The day, that's when finally we'll enter into God's rest, or at least the finality of God's rest will be accomplished in the seventh day. We're in the sixth day right now. We're still accomplished. We're finishing that. Verse 14 here says, I looked, and behold, a white cloud. Now that cloud, remember, if it's not going to be cloudy everywhere. In fact, he's not coming back cloud level. This is symbolic. I saw and looked in a white cloud, and upon the cloud one set upon unto the like unto the Son of Man. White cloud in prophecy means the restored church. It's a place above the earthly, the devilish, sensual, terra firma. It's up in a heavenly place. And Jesus on a cloud, he's going to come back on a cloud of witnesses, a cloud of our a church that's been lifted up. And he had on his head a golden crown. That is the pure, unadulterated Word of God. It's more precious than gold. He said, buy of me gold tried in the fire. It's the Word of God that it goes through a purification process. Jesus has got a crown of gold because he's been purified. When he was here on the earth, he went through a purifying process. And God gave him the headship of the body. He's got a crown of rulership because he's got wisdom of truth. And he said, you shall know the truth and it'll make you free. Hallelujah. Praise God. So John saw him with this golden crown and in his hand a sharp sickle. You know, that's what you know, that's how they used to harvest wheat, is they took a sickle and went through the field with a sickle, swashing the wheat down for harvest. And verse 15 said, another angel came out of the temple crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle. Here's where God gets in on this deal. God finally tells Jesus, it's time to harvest. Thrust in your sickle. For the time has come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. By the way, you know what that sickle is? It's in his hand. The hand represents a ministry. But there's a sickle in his hand. It's the Word of God. You know how that works? It has to get in you. This harvest, if this world's going to get harvest, you're going to have to harvest it. God's going to have to work in your life. He's going to have to finally get you in a place where he can use you, trust you, depend on you, that you're stable enough that you become his servant. Peter, in one of his final writings to the Gentiles, by the way, he said they were a royal priesthood. See, this is partly for you. It's not just for me. I'm just the first fruit that is in your life to be a messenger of God. But I'm a messenger so you can be a messenger. You got to carry a message. You got to take on this royal priesthood calling. And for God to bring about this harvest and this sickle to go into the earth. And so God's going to reap this world. That's just mainly what I wanted to show you, is that there's going to be a harvest in the end of this world. And there's going to be a message and messengers. And he showed here, the first message is fear God. Now, let me tell you something I'm working on. You know, when 9-1-1 came, it put a little bit of fear of God in Americans. It didn't last long enough because God's blessings on this nation made us powerful enough to overcome the situation. Here's what I don't want. I don't want God to have to do some devastating thing to cause me to fear Him enough that He can really work in my life. I want to turn that around. I want to say, God, if God loves you, the Bible says He'll chastise you. Here's what I've been telling Him. It's like Daddy. When Daddy said, "Son, this is going to hurt me more than it is you," I said, "Well, if it's going to hurt you that bad, let's just skip it." That's what I'm telling God. I said, "Look, let's skip this chastising deal. I want to be like the Apostle Paul, where he said, I am apprehending that for which I'm apprehended." He ran from God for a while, and that's what you'll do when God gets after you. You'll run if you're not careful. But if you really get to a place that you understand that God, what God's trying to do in your life is exactly what you need and exactly why you're here. When you really get that, you'll turn around. You know, if you're going the way of man. But when God really gets a hold of you, you'll turn around and say, "I see. And God, I'm going to run to you instead of running away from you. But I'm going to apprehend that for which you're apprehending me. I see you're after me. I'm going to get after you." In other words, Lord, help me find you so real in my life that you don't have to do some devastating thing to cause me to fear you. Help me to find a way to fear you. The wisdom is the beginning of fear. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. God, give me enough wisdom that I can see you well enough that I can fear. Not that I'm afraid of you, but I'm in such awe of you. Your purpose, the fact that I'm here and that I have an opportunity to live forever. You've called me. You've touched my life. And I don't care if He just barely touched me. It's enough for me to believe and start the process. Make up my mind to commit myself to you. And so I want to fear you. I want to give you glory. I want to recognize that you're the reason I'm here. Let me give you a little amplified version of something Jesus said. When He said, "He that cometh up any other way except by me is a thief and a robber." Now let me amplify that a little bit for you. If you're living in this world and you're not serving Him, you're not giving Him glory and recognizing Him before all things in your life and putting Him first, you are a thief. Sorry if that hurts, but it's truth. I am too. If I don't put Him before everything, I'm taking the very creation of God, living by it, utilizing it for my own purpose, my own desires, without recognizing where I got it and who gave it to me, who made it available. He's the creator of all things. This life is a gift. If you're in it, you're here, is part of the progeny of the purpose and design of God. And his purpose is that you be saved. It's not his will that any should perish, but all should come to life. So, God, I'm trying to get this turned around, get my head screwed on straight, so to speak. You know, get my mind understanding why I'm here. What's this life all about? It's not for me to just live and do my thing. If I do, I'll perish. Let me tell you something else. If you're going to church to escape going to hell, you're going to hell. He that seeketh to save his life will surely lose it. But he that loses it for my sake shall surely find it. This ain't all about escaping damnation. This is about life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of life, the gift of God is life eternal. It's a gift. God, we're here because God had a purpose and a design to have an eternal family in righteousness. Now, we got some work to do, you know. I mean, if God took this class right here to heaven, I've said this so many times, people get tired of hearing it, but they can just get tireder. And I'm going to keep saying it. Because if he took this class to heaven today, hell would break out on the streets of glory before tomorrow morning. We're not ready for that. Somebody in here would get mad at somebody. Somebody would have a thought. Look at her. Look at him. Who does she think she is? See, we'd have what we got right here. That's what I'm trying to tell you. He's going to clean this up before we get ready for that. Why don't we get to work on it? Let's get to work. I know you already are. I'm just trying to provoke you and exhort you a little bit. And myself, too. Most preachers preach to themselves and just hope everybody else gets it. Yeah. But this first message of the everlasting gospel is to fear God and give him glory. That's a great message that not too many really have it yet. Yeah. Give him glory. Look, let me tell you something. If you stump your toe and you put a little mercury comb on there, does everybody know what mercury comb is? Methylate. You know, what's another word for it today? Do they still have that? Monkey blood? But, I mean, what are the, some salve. Put something on there to heal it. You ought to thank, if it starts healing, you ought to thank God it healed. You know why? Because everything in this world, he gets the glory for it. He put it in the minds of somebody. Everything that's ever happened to you, good. And someday you'll even understand bad. You know, you need to be thankful for even everything you go. Now, let me tell you, God don't want you going through everything you're going through bad. You are the reason you're going through a lot of bad things. You create your own problems. Yeah? You do. Just set up, just go ahead and face it and accept it, admit it. You know, I made wrong decisions and I suffer because of it. God wants to bless me, but he's not going to take, I'm going to tell you this way. He is not a cosmic Santa Claus. Let that soak in. He isn't there. Now, I know we sing that song. He can do anything with anything. He can. That's true. But he ain't going to do everything with nothing. Because he wants you to get to a place that you can do something. He don't want to fix everything for you. Every time something goes wrong for you to say, fix it, Lord. I've told you before, and I'm not going to go into the story, but I told God one time, I said, I want you to fix this. Please. He said, you fix it. Yeah, he talked to me. He said, you fix it. I said, I can't fix it. He said, yeah, you can. Yes, you can. You're capable. I'll help you. But I'm not going to fix it for you. And I started praying and meditating and thinking, and God showed me how to fix it. It took time, it took work, it took patience, but I fixed it with God's help. As a matter of fact, He did it. He just used me. Hallelujah. So He got the glory. You know, you could talk on this a while. Fear God and give Him glory. Be in awe of Him. Find the awe of God. It's unmeasurable. You can't measure it. You can't think of enough good things about God. His greatness. You can't think about it. You can't figure it out. And when you really, God touches your mind and helps you with it, you'll have to glorify in all things. Even the bad that you caused to come on yourself, you'll get to a place, oh God, help me. Thank you for helping me to see what corruption is in a man's mind and in his actions, and how you can deliver him from all of that. Now there's another message that's going to come, but it's going to take fear in God and giving Him glory first. The next message that's coming is Babylon is fallen. God finally wants us. He's going to bring us to a place to see that religion, that man. And let's just forget false religion. Let's just take Christianity, because that's what Babylon He's talking about. He wants us to get to a place to know that falsehood in His kingdom, in His house, is in a fallen condition. Israel was in a fallen condition. Christianity is in a fallen condition. I'm sorry, but it is. It is. That's why we got so much. This world is such a mess. You can't hardly tell the difference between a Christian or one that says he is and one that ain't. In fact, our own leaders of our own country, they can't tell the difference between religions. They don't know which one's a true or false religion. They just want this nation to be a nation of all religions now. That's how watered down this gospel's became. It's a mess. It's in a fallen condition, and it's going to take messengers. It's going to take angels. It's going to take the everlasting gospel. It's going to take the power of God to turn it around. But it's going to happen. The good news is it's going to happen. Hallelujah. And if I can be a part of it, it's going to take, look, I'm just, all I'm doing is telling you the message of the early church. You know what those 12 apostles went about preaching? Same thing Jesus is preaching. It's broke. You're serving, the way you're serving God is broke. It's a mess. And he told his apostles, you're going to have to, first, you're going to have to serve. You're going to have to fear God and glorify Him. They got that. And they planted that in others. And they went about preaching. The system's broke. And you know what? They got thrown in jail. They got killed for preaching the truth. But it saved lives. It turned that world upside down. It harvested that world and gathered the bride out of it. Hallelujah. And the message, the third message was, after you see the broke system is, don't take the mark of the beast. You might as well know what it is. It ain't no rubber stamp. It's no chip. It's not tattoos. It's not nothing they can put on your body that's visible. It's nothing natural. The beast system is man's makings. Men are like beast. Read the third chapter of Ecclesiastes. We're beastly in nature, in our fallen condition. And that's been incorporated over into Christianity. And men are making a religious system. that God is not going to be the head of. He is not going to be a part of it. And they're going to form a system and try to gather all of this together under man's makings, politics, and all kinds of, you know, putting togethers. And if you become a part of that and take the mark of that, you let them mark your brain with that doctrine, false doctrine of thinking, I'm okay, you're okay. Anybody can make it and do anything you want to do. That was the message. You don't have to be holy like He's holy. I'm sorry if you don't like that message, but that's the message of the New Testament church in the end of the Gentile world. Be ye holy, even as He is holy. He wants us to come out from among them and be ye separate and live a righteous life. Live holy. Don't just, you know, feel like you're going to get a free ride because you ain't. But I'm telling you what, when you really, you know, here's a saying of an old preacher years ago, Brother Daddy Angelo. He used to say, it's easy to serve God hard, but it's hard to serve Him easy. See, if you just try to see what you can get by with and still get counted in the fold, you're talking about misery. You're talking about a miserable life because condemnation is going to eat you up. But if you want to, if you'll serve Him hard, if you really dedicate your life and really serve Him, it's easy. You know, not making any compromise. I've made up my mind. I've counted the cost. And I must go on. Hallelujah. And so, don't take that mark of the beast or his image. Now, see, the image hadn't been set up yet. There's a two-horned beast in the 13th chapter of the book of Revelation that's going to make an image to the beast. The beast system, I'm just going to tell you what it is. It's the beast system that's talking about is the Catholic Church. It's false religion. It's Christianity, but it's a man-made system. And there's many daughters. She's called a harlot in the Bible. Now, I know there's a lot of good people in that. Don't get me wrong. God's got people in every facet of Christianity. But all of these denominations, did y'all know it's not biblical? There's not a biblical governing operation like denomination. Or men, you know, voting man in. You think Paul got voted in? You think a bunch of bishops got together and decided he's going to be the Pope of the Gentiles? I'm here to tell you, he didn't get voted in. God raised him up. And by the power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost, it was obvious that he was the apostle to the Gentiles, just like the 12 were to the Jews. No man decided that. You say, well, now, the 12 apostles decided on Matthias. Yes, they did. They all asked God what to do, and they all knew that Judas's bishopric had to be replaced. But Jesus chose the 12, and it was in God's design that there would be one that in God's foreknowledge knew that there would be one that would betray him. And it was put in the scriptures of what those 12 men, but it wasn't put in the scriptures anywhere that, you know, I ain't letting y'all vote on me. You ain't voting on me. God, you think God can't put me out of here? Don't you think God can take me down? If I ain't the man that ought to be here, God knows how to get rid of me. He sure does. This ain't an operation of man. This is God. This is what God is going to build. He's going to build an organism, not an organization. An organism is live. See, this pulpit right here is an organization. Some carpenter organized it, put it all together. The early church wasn't organized by men. It was built by God. God sent Jesus here. God showed Jesus what men to choose to be his apostles. those men preached the gospel, other people received it, and those men saw those men that God chose and that for bishops of that work back there. God put a gift in those men. Those men recognized it, and they ordained it. But man, you see, this can turn into an organization that men take control of. It's not biblical. That ain't how it wasn't structured like that in the early church. And there's been many organizations come out of the Reformation, or the not the Pentecostal, but the Protestant. Y'all know why the Protestant movement's called Protestant? Because they were protesters against the Catholic Church. See, there's a lot of things that's been lost. A lot of people don't even know. They hadn't followed the history of the church. But Catholicism, there's a lot of people murdered back in the Dark Ages under Catholicism that you just read the Fox's Book of Martyrs. If you didn't agree with their doctrine, they'd murder you. They burned them at the stake and called them heretics. They were doing what they thought was right. They were just sincere, but they were sincerely wrong. Then there's this Protestant movement that formed all of these different organizations. See, Martin Luther started a whole movement of faith. Now, Martin Luther didn't organize it, but man did later. They started the Methodist movement or the Wesleyan movement and organized it and made it into a denomination. Other men did the same thing with different denominations. That's all going to come together in the end, but men. Now, see, and I'm going to tell you who I think the two-horned beast is. It's America that's going to put together a system and get the religious leaders together. And I'm going to tell you why. It's because we are in a religious war in this world. If y'all don't know that there's a war going on among Islam and Christianity, you're not awake as to what's going on. And it's developing and escalating. And governments of this world is going to try to figure out how to bring peace. They're going to try to figure out how to overcome. The Christian nations are going to try to overcome the Islamic nations, and the Islamic nations are trying to overcome the Christian nations. And both of them think the other one needs to be eradicated. I think they both need to be. No, I don't mean that literally. But I just mean that it's men that's bringing these problems. It's mankind, it's humanism. And they're finally going to, civil power is finally going to develop to a place that they realize we've got to have powerful religious leaders to help bring peace to this world. America's, you watch what I tell you, they'll realize it. They're going to come to the realization that they're going to have powerful religious leaders. And the most powerful man in the world today is the Pope of Rome. They're going to need his help. If they're going to try to do this with the power of man, they're going to need his help to try to bring every Christian nation in unity to war against this onslaught that's coming against them. And they're going to do it. And they're going to make the image to the beast. See, used to, Catholicism was the world religion. There wasn't any other religion but Catholicism. You couldn't be in any other kind of Christianity or any other thing in the world, because the Pope ruled the world for 1,260 years. From AD 538 to 1798. That's just historical fact. And that was a system that brought everything under its power until the King of England decided, I'm not going to come under your power anymore. And that started a Reformation system. It was solidified by the King of England or Britain when he made himself the head of the church in England, and pulled out from underneath that power, and it escalated the Reformation movement. And out of that has developed many organizations. Don't y'all know that this can't be right? Don't you know that this can't be one body, all these different organizations preaching different doctrines? I include us in on it, but what I include about us is we see it and we know we need help. We're asking God for more help to get us out of this. And we're not accepting being part of some man-made organization. We've come out of that. Babylon is fallen. Now, there's an image to the beast that's being created, that's going to be created. And that beast system, that image, if you take that mark, you'll join up with that system. You can take by the number of the name, you can take it in your hand or in your forehead. The hand is the ministry. There'll be many ministers out here that'll jump, be a part of that system. But there will be, and I'm fixing to close this up, but also if you take it in your forehead, that's just taking in your thinking for you to believe in the system of Christianity, man's Christianity, not what Christ is the head of. When he comes in the end of this world to finish this work, I can promise you he's going to say, I'm going to build a church. There's one on every corner, Lord. There's a synagogue on every corner. Yeah, but I'm not going to join up with none of them. Because the one I'm going to build, the gates of hell shall not prevail against. And he's coming back. And if you take the mark of the beast, or the image that's going to be set up. When they say peace and safety, they're finally going to get this thing down where they think they got it under control. And they're going to say peace and safety. And that's when sudden destruction. So you might think you can overpower the enemy, but they're going to cause the greatest holocaust and the greatest war and Armageddon that's ever been. But before that comes, what I read you here in this 14th chapter of the book of Revelation is going to take place. There's going to be a harvest. You can get out of here before it happens. You still got time for God to take you on this journey, to develop you and help you become so stabilized that you become a messenger. Part of this angel of the everlasting gospel. My God, think about that, saints. So, I'm not going to become a part of this system that man's building out here. Just look back. You'll see it if you look back. Look back in the New Testament. Look at the system that Judaism built and fought against the early church. Put them in jail, beat them, done everything they could do to stop it because they wanted the system of Judaism. Today it's the system of Christianity. We're not fighting Judaism today. We're fighting Christianity. The system of man's religion. That's what you better be careful for. And God, you know, this is the thing. God is going to help us. If we'll just be a part of that cloud of witnesses, let him lift you up. Serve him. And you say, well, now, what if? Look, get the what ifs out of your mind. Just serve him. All you can do is all you can do. Believe in him and serve him with an honest, sincere heart. Get committed to God. Dedicate your life to him. Let him be a part and ahead of your life. I'll tell you what he'll do. He'll turn your life around. He'll lift you up out of the mire. He'll lift you up out of the pit that you might be falling in. And he'll deliver you. And he'll bless your life and give you favor and help you and turn your life around. Hallelujah. He's a Savior today. Hallelujah. Praise his wonderful name. Glory be to God. Oh God. Hallelujah. I'm trying to think of a song to sing. Have y'all got one already figured out? Yeah, well, let's have it. I've been singing the song of Moses and the Lamb. Y'all sing what?
Lord, you gave me life for my soul. Oh, how good it feels. And I know that love, peace, and joy are the fruit it yields. Though this outer man must die, this is my earnest cry. You give me life, life, life for my soul. He's given me life for my soul. How good it feels. And I know that love, peace, and joy are the fruit it yields.
Service at 5 o'clock. God bless your hearts.